Welcome back. In part one, we explored that whole egg mentality thing.
Right, the tough shell, but that vulnerable yolk inside.
Exactly. And how cyber warfare is inherently asymmetrical.
Attackers only need one weak point.
Yep, one weak point, and they've got you. But now I think it's time we shift our focus to
Okay.
something that often gets overlooked in all the talk about firewalls and
The
algorithms.
human factor.
Bingo. Technology can only take us so far.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's people making decisions,
Yeah.
creating vulnerabilities, and becoming our strongest line of defense.
Okay, so let's talk about those people.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin to unravel this human element in cybersecurity?
Well, the research reports paint a pretty clear picture.
Okay.
Cybersecurity professionals are facing some serious challenges.
Like what?
They're dealing with a constantly evolving threat landscape,
Always changing.
a shortage of skilled
A
workers,
skills gap.
and often a lack of support and resources from their own organizations.
So it's like a recipe for burnout.
It really is. And are organizations doing enough to support these people tasked with defending them?
That's a good question.
It's a big one, and a lot of the blog posts tackled this head on.
And what did they say?
There seems to be a disconnect
The
between
twills.
awareness of the problem and actually doing something about it.
Ah, so knowing it's an issue, but not taking action.
Sadly, yeah, one security expert even compared it to sending soldiers into battle without proper equipment or training.
Oh, wow. That's a powerful analogy.
It is. You can't expect people to win a war if they're constantly fighting an uphill battle.
So what needs to change? How do we empower these cybersecurity professionals to be more effective?
The sources all point to one major thing,
Okay.
a fundamental shift in organizational culture.
So it's bigger than just the individual employees.
Much bigger cybersecurity can't be treated as just an IT issue. It needs to be embedded in the DNA of the entire organization.
A security-first mindset.
Exactly, and that starts at the top.
With leadership.
Absolutely. One report had this fascinating case study,
Oh.
a company that completely transformed their security posture
How'd they do that?
by making security everyone's responsibility.
Interesting.
They implemented mandatory security awareness training for everyone,
Everyone.
from the CEO to the interns, no exceptions.
Wow.
They even held regular security hackathons
To encourage problem solving.
and collaboration between different departments.
So breaking down silos and creating a sense of shared ownership.
Exactly, because security is everyone's business.
Right, it's not just the IT department's problem anymore.
It's a team effort, but training alone isn't enough.
What else is crucial?
Investing in ongoing development for cybersecurity professionals.
To keep their skills sharp.
Exactly. The threat landscape is constantly evolving, so they need to stay ahead of the curve.
It's like you can't fight a modern war with outdated weapons.
Precisely. But even with the best training,
Yeah.
you still need enough skilled people to actually do the job.
Right, the cybersecurity skills gap is a huge issue.
Huge. One of the blog posts I read called it a cybersecurity skills famine.
Wow, a famine.
Yeah, there just aren't enough qualified people to fill all these open cybersecurity jobs.
And that makes it even harder for organizations to defend themselves.
Absolutely. So, what's the solution?
Yeah, how do we address this skills gap?
The sources suggest a multi-pronged approach,
Okay.
investing in education and training programs.
So creating a pipeline of new talent.
Exactly. Encouraging more people to pursue careers in cybersecurity
Makes sense.
and making the field more inclusive and diverse.
Diversity in cybersecurity. I haven't heard much about that. What's the connection?
A diverse workforce brings a wider range of perspectives, experiences, and problem-solving skills to the table.
Okay.
And that's crucial in a field as complex and dynamic as cybersecurity.
Right. Different viewpoints can lead to better solutions.
Precisely. Plus, by tapping into a broader talent pool, we can help address that skills shortage.
It's a win-win.
It really is. But all this talk about defenders and skills gaps
Yeah.
makes me wonder, who are we actually defending against?
Good point. Who are these attackers?
That's a question that's fascinated researchers for decades.
Yeah.
What's interesting is the sources paint this picture of cyber attackers
Okay.
as a surprisingly diverse group. We tend to have this Hollywood image in our heads.
Of like the lone hacker in a dark room.
Exactly. But the reality is much more nuanced.
So break it down for me. Who are the major players in this cyber battlefield?
Well, you've got your classic cyber criminals motivated by financial gain.
The ones behind all those ransomware attacks we hear about.
Exactly. They're all about profit, exploiting vulnerabilities, and stealing data.
So money is their main driver.
But not all attackers are driven by the same motive.
Okay.
The blog posts highlight a range of motivations.
Like what?
You have hacktivists,
Hacktivists.
driven by political or social causes.
So using their tech skills for activism?
Exactly. They might launch attacks to make a statement,
Okay.
disrupt operations, or expose wrongdoing.
So it's about making a point, not necessarily about money.
Right. And then you have nation-state actors.
Nation-states, that's government-backed hackers, right?
Exactly. They're engaged in cyber espionage and cyber warfare.
That sounds serious.
It is. We're talking about governments using cyber attacks.
To do what?
Steal secrets, disrupt critical infrastructure, even influence elections.
It's like something out of a spy thriller.
But it's real, and the stakes are incredibly high.
Yeah, this is getting a little scary.
The reports highlighted several instances.
Of what?
Nation-state attacks, crippling infrastructure, stealing sensitive data.
Wow.
Even sowing discord and misinformation in other countries.
It's a whole new battleground.
And one that's incredibly difficult to defend against.
So understanding the motivations and tactics of these different attackers is crucial.
Absolutely. It allows us to develop more effective defenses and strategies.
This is all fascinating, but a bit overwhelming.
I know, right?
With all these different actors and motivations, it feels like we're always playing catch-up.
It's a constant game of cat and mouse.
So how do we even begin to address such a complex and evolving threat landscape?
That's the million-dollar question, and that's what we'll be exploring in part three.
Okay.
We'll be examining the strategies, tactics, and technologies that are shaping the future of cybersecurity.
I'm on the edge of my seat already.